illustrates in a wonderful way the power of the Word of God. And I want to talk with you this evening about the power of the Word of God. Turn to Isaiah 55. Should I turn on a few more lights? You like it like this? What should I do? Is that okay? Do you guys need it back there? Or do you want it? Okay. I know atmosphere. I don't like a lot of lights myself, but I do want you to be able to see your Bible, okay? Romans. The lights, you know, when they hit my sheet, it illuminated the first passage. That's what happens. So, Romans chapter 12, then we'll go to Isaiah. And I'd like you to write these verses down. It's up to you whether you want to write down any thoughts I share. That's up to you, but I want you to at least remember where these are so you can go back and revisit them. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In the New American Standard Bible, in the NIV, it says, do not be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where the title of those tapes came from, and where the original group years ago I started came from, was from this passage. It was called Renew. When I was a young man, newly married, I went through a similar but different set of circumstances that Peter went through. I didn't end up in the hospital, maybe just because of my own pride and or whatever, but I just felt I hit a wall. And all I could think about in my own Christian life was all of the failings of my life, and they were great. You'll hear them on the tapes if you decide to get them. I won't try to go into them tonight, but I'm pretty honest and pretty frank about the things that went on, and they weren't pretty, and they made me very, very ashamed. I had failed as a father, I failed as a husband, I failed as a man, I failed as a Christian man, I failed as a provider. In every area that I could look at my life, if I put it down, you know, as slices of a little pie, I have failed in miserably. Some of it, you know, if I was honest, was my fault, and some of it was out of my control, but it didn't really matter. It just made me feel like a total and complete failure. And this was about 6 years into my Christian life. And it was also 6 years into my desire to want to be a pastor. That's what I wanted to be. And it was upon that basis that Kathy married me. She married me knowing that that's where my life was going, what I wanted to be. And at this point in my life, it was the farthest thing away from what I would ever be able to achieve at this time, in this moment. My fits of rage were unbelievable, and I broke so many things. I smacked so many walls. I said so many mean and awful things that, quite honestly, and I share this on the tape, I'm very surprised Kathy stayed with me. I felt completely and totally emotionally annihilated and humiliated, not by anyone but by myself and by the devil. And I would go and I would to this railroad tracks, this set of railroad tracks in this valley, and I would walk and I would sob for hours begging God, change me, God. I hate who I am. I hate what I am. Change me. And I read my Bible. I was in my Bible fairly consistently, but during this period of time, I didn't feel worthy to open the Bible. And lo and behold, I came across the tape on the love of God and a book about the love of God. And it all happened through a set of circumstances I just don't have time to share with you tonight. But when I first heard the things some of you will hear if you decide to get the Renew tapes, I really thought they were heresy. I thought this is that cannot. I know Christianity's good news, but I cannot believe it's great news. I cannot believe it's that good. The only reason I listened, I got this one tape, I started with one, is because I knew the man who shared it, and I had the utmost respect for his life, and I thought, maybe that's the secret to his life. I don't know, but so I went and got a Walkman, It's when Walkmans first came out, and I didn't have any money to get it, so I traded a Christmas drill. I was given a drill for Christmas. I kept it in the box, and I traded it at Sears for the money, and I went and bought a Walkman. And I had a little saying, Mark, you got to learn to walk, man, before you can run. And so part of what was going on in my life, and I'm sure Peter can relate to this, and maybe many of you, I was so discouraged that I could not tell myself the truth. It just didn't stick. And when I would try to meditate, I was so undisciplined in my mind. I was so used to coming to all the... My verse of Philippians interpretation was, finally, brothers, whatever's rotten, whatever's despicable, whatever's a lie about you, think about these things and rot yourself out from the inside. That was my version of that verse. But to be honest, there was a little something else going on in my life. It's called pride. Now, I prided myself on trying to get things out of the Bible. I wasn't too excited about being 6 years into the Christian life, having to listen to someone else and learn from what they had to share. That was also part of it. So I claimed this verse. Because to be honest, ever since I can remember, I've had a temper. I actually don't want to deceive anyone. I still have one today. But ever since I can remember, and I knew, God, how am I ever going to change? Sometimes, you know, I look at others who I know who have a different personality than I, and I think, oh, God, you know, I'd give anything to be like that. But I'm not. I feel like, to be honest, God decides to put 100,000 volts of electricity through me, but he only gave me a 15-watt fuse in my fuse box. If I was to describe my experience, then they blow. And they blow. And then they blow. And, of course, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault at all. And God, through his Holy Spirit in me, in my weakness, can be strong. And so, but I felt completely unlovable. Absolutely, completely unlovable. So what I did was I went and got 7 tapes and I made a little plan. This was my verse. I banked my entire life on this verse. In fact, if I could put it this way, my entire financial future. I had no college education. I had no trade. Well, I was a machinist, but there was no jobs during those years anywhere for a machinist. If God did not do this verse, I would not only not be married today in my view of where our life would have gone. I would not have a relationship with my children. I'd also probably be broke and bumming around the country. I don't know where I'd be today. And I got this verse and I said, all right, God, I'm going to give you my mind. I don't know what else to do. All I know is 1 John says we love because he first loved us. And I know that I'm not a loving man because I seriously doubt the fact that you could even love me. So I got 7 tapes and I got this Walkman and I made a secret plan. I didn't tell anybody. And I'm going to listen to one of these tapes every day for a year, every single day. I believe, and it's been my observation as a pastor now and as a trainer of others, that one of the things that many of us do is we think we have truth when we don't have truth. We think, oh, I understand that. No, you don't understand it. You understand it when you're experiencing it consistently, when you can articulate it to others in a way that it makes sense to them, and on and on. And I know so many Christians, you know, we just take something and we go, oh, well, that's really cool. But have you ever really pondered it? Have you ever really chewed over it? Have you ever really thought about it over and over and over and over and over again? Until it transforms you from the inside out. The word means metamorphosize. It's what a caterpillar goes through in a cocoon. And it's in there, and it's in there. Nobody sees. It looks like the cocoon. It looks like that little caterpillar is making no progress at all. That's what happened to me. I disappeared. I stepped out of the music. I stepped down from leading small groups. I mean, my whole life just kind of sort of crashed. Now I'm sitting in a video arcade at night, 25 hours a week, almost 30 on top of my other 45 to 50 hours a week. And I got this little Walkman, and I bought this little crummy camera case because they didn't have cases for them then. And I stuck it on my little belt. I averaged 18 hours a week on those tapes. When I drive in my car on my sales route, I listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over on the love of God, on the forgiveness of God, on the understanding of 1 John, on the understanding of Romans, over and over and over. And you know what started to happen? Joy started to come back in my life. Like, it was actually like I was born again, but better this time. And my wife started to notice. She started listening to the tapes. In fact, one of the ways she'd do it is she would have Jeremy and Celeste play on a little blanket, a big blanket. She put toys on it, and that was their boundaries. They couldn't go off the blanket. It's one of the ways we trained our children, while she listened to the tape. And they had to play quietly. It was not loud time now to play. And she trained them, and every day she would listen 40, 45 minutes to that tape. We'd talk about it when I get home about 1 in the morning. All of a sudden, I began to understand what it might mean to sit and wash your wife with the water of the Word and talk about the Word. And it just was on our mind. God started doing things in our lives. But friends of mine, they thought we left the church. We never left the church. Never left our commitment. But nobody saw us because I was my only free day was part of Sunday. And I'd mow the lawn and hang out with the family. And Kathy would go to meetings. You know, she felt a little bit like a widow during that time, or a single mom. And God had me in this cocoon. And he was spinning and spinning. And then one day, 2 years later almost, one of the pastors called me for whatever reason, I don't know why, asked me if I wanted to be on this panel discussion because he'd heard some rumors that God was doing some things in my life. And I got on that stage that day sitting with everyone else. Someone asked me a question. And Mark was no longer a caterpillar. God had given me wings. And it was not about 2 years after that that I became a pastor. The Word of God is the most powerful thing in your life. The Word of God. And God wants to take the Word of God and He wants to transform your life with it. He wants to change and revolutionize you from the inside out. If you're willing to renew your mind, if you're willing to give God your thoughts, if you're willing to wash your mind with the water of the Word. I've often told young Christians, look, don't worry about old thought patterns. Cultivate new ones over here. It's a little bit like trying to do a construction project. And you take the old road and you go, okay, I've got to fill the old road and I've got to put new. No, water always goes to the lowest point. So your mind is so used to thinking negativity and self-critical thoughts that it just flows to that lowest point. What you do is you go over here and dig new trenches. Walk in a new path. When these come, you don't worry. You go back over here. And when it comes, you go back over here. And pretty soon, you're used to being in that groove. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. I want to show you something in this passage that has always been such a tremendous encouragement to me. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to look at verse 8. My thoughts are completely different than yours, says the Lord. That's the first thing you want to get across to your own self. The way you think is completely different than the way God thinks. The way God thinks is completely different than the way you think. And what God wants to do is teach us to get to His plane of thinking. He wants us to leave our way of thinking behind and come to God's way of thinking. Some of you here, for example, may have recently lost your job. I know I've talked to a number of people who've lost their job. And I'm reading in the paper this morning and I open it up and it says, new economy makes it extremely difficult to find a job. And it's true. Humanly speaking, these are some of the worst of times. They aren't the worst as they could ever get, by any means, don't take me wrong. But it's a very, very difficult time right now economically. And a lot of people I know are getting laid off. Now, you and I can get in that groove and we can listen to the world and we can go, yep, yep, no, it's tough. Yep, it's going to be hard. You know, Peter, let me share something with you about Peter that you don't know. To show you the power of the Word of God, to inspire you to do the same as he did. He looked for a job for 6 solid months. He was receiving unbelievable, I won't even give you the details, out of respect for his privacy, pressure from his father and mother. Unbelievable. You remember his story a few months, maybe a half a year ago, how he left that job because they wanted him to photograph women in their underwear all day. It was a good paying job. He left it. He was 6 months out of work. You know what? He didn't end up back in the psych ward. Do you know why? Because even though it was difficult, no question, and even though he needed encouragement, he received it. He had learned in the process of the previous time to think more of God's thoughts than his own thoughts. In other words, faith sees that God calls into being, Hebrews says, that which does not exist. faith says, in the book of Ecclesiastes, God takes from the wicked and he gives to those who are pleasing in his sight. In other words, it is no trouble for God to fire the wicked and unrighteous and replace them with you. These times that we're going through right now, they're difficult, but they're not quite as difficult as the late 70s and early 80s when I was a father with two children making $5,000 a year looking for better work and it didn't exist. With no insurance on any of my children. And I can tell you right now, it was this book. The promises of God was worth more to me. And I'm sure, Peter, you've learned the same thing. This is worth more than all the money in the world. Because this currency works in any economic market. Whether it's pesos or francs or Deutschmarks or the dollar. Or the lempira, as in Honduras. Faith works. God's promises work. And so we've got to learn to elevate our thinking from the way mankind thinks and sees things to the way God sees things. And the story I shared with you tonight about the little angel. If you saw her, if we're really honest, I mean, if we're really honest with our flesh, we'd all probably go, oh, Lord, please, please do not give me a child like that. Lord, it would just crush me if my first baby was born with no arm, no leg, and no mouth. But Jim and Sue, you see, they saw it from a different perspective. They saw it from God's eternal perspective. And that they had the chance to love this little girl and that this would be for the glory of God. And many people have come to Christ and seen their Christian witness because of her. And one day she'll have little legs and little arms and a mouth. And they see that, you see. They see that reality. So he goes on to say, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth. Now, I know that you go, yeah, the heavens are higher than the earth. No, the heavens are mega billions of light years beyond the earth. Not like, oh, the blue sky. We're talking places. I was going to read it in the book last Saturday, but I know it's boring hearing me read sometimes. We're talking billions of light years above this planet. There are more stars and more galaxies. That far and beyond, God's ways are above ours. We're like the lowly cockroach. Our ways, we think ourselves as so smart, so scientific, so technologically advanced. To God, we live in a little ant colony. And we scramble around for crumbs. That's how high God's ways are above ours. They're so, so far. And he's your father. He's your personal protector. He goes on to say, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Now, we all understand this principle, I think. How many of you grew up on a farm or gardening? Anybody? A few people. It's smaller and smaller every year. But maybe you planted a flower. You put that flower in the ground, okay? It needs water. It needs moisture. It needs sunlight. That's what God provides. And he causes it to grow. Now, look at this verse. In the same way, my word, I send it out. And it always produces fruit. Another way to read it, in another version, it always produces growth. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Or another way you could read that, it will prosper wherever we allow it to go. God sends it. And he means two things here. He gives his angels orders. He speaks the word and it's done. At the same time, he's given us his written word. And if we allow it to be sent to our own mind and heart, then it can produce its fruit. If we leave it on the shelf and we don't allow it to water us, guess what? No fruit, no growth, and you remain destitute, lonely. And your life, quite frankly, is like a desert. And it will begin to resemble a desert. with no life there, no vitality. Then he says this, you will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Now, I want to explain what this means, okay? Because you look, I've never seen no mountains clap their hands before. And I've never seen no trees, you know, or burst into song or trees clap. What's it saying? First of all, if you go to Peter later, he will tell you, and we'll all tell you this. We all have up and down days. That doesn't mean our struggles are over. But you know what? This man has joy and peace in his life. There's real joy. There's real peace in his life. Many others of you in this room, you know what I'm talking about. Carrie, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Carrie Joe? You know what I'm talking about. Sometime I'm going to have you share your story. You keep thinking about it, and I'm going to have you come up here and share your story. Because it's very moving, and it's very powerful. It's something I believe a lot of you ladies could relate to. It is incredible. She's been in the Word of God, and there's joy and peace. But you know what this means when the mountains burst and clap their hands? Do you know what it means? It means your outlook on life changes. You see, the proverb says all the days of the oppressed are miserable. Blah, blah, blah. My life's so bad. Everything's so bad. Nobody likes me. I got a rotten car. My house stinks. My job sucks. I got an ugly body. That's how a depressed, discouraged, lack of full of the Word of God person thinks. But when the Word of God waters you and you allow it to water you, growth happens and all of a sudden you get new glasses. How many of you remember when you first got saved, there was a moment, it may have lasted longer for you than a moment, where it was like somebody gave you new glasses and you saw things different. How many of you remember that kind of time in your life? Lizzie remembers that. Sometime I have Lizzie share a story with you. I think, in fact, we may put permanent story time into this meeting on Tuesday nights. Okay? I'll see what we can do. So, you never know who I might call, so refine your story. Let me just say, Peter was a public relations, public speaking major, and it showed. He's been refining his craft. He's been doing this in coffee shops, and I knew he'd prepare his story. So you get yours prepared and ready to go, and we'll use it, okay? It's your assignment. So, you remember that moment? It was like somebody gave you new glasses. This is what God wants to have happen on a regular basis in our life. I, as you notice, I need glasses. I need them bad. I couldn't even identify who's in the front, except I already know. You look like kind of fuzzy figures out there. I see colors. I put my glasses on, I can see. I hate to even admit this, but I was just looking a minute ago and, is that verse 8 or what does that say? Oh, gee, I don't even want to think about bifocals. Can you believe that? Many Christmas. So anyway, when I was in the fifth or sixth grade, I used to play a lot of sports. And all of a sudden, I was playing basketball. And, I'd shoot the basket, and it wouldn't go in. And I'd swing at the ball, and I didn't hit it. Now, I never thought much of it. I just thought I was in a slump. And then my grades, they started to slide. And my parents were going, what's going on with you, Mark? So the teacher, the brilliant teacher, said to my parents, I was just wondering, have you ever had Mark's eyes checked? Well, no, we haven't. Let's do that. So lo and behold, I get my eyes checked. Wow! Wow! You remember those big bug things they put in front of you and they go click, 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 and you put your nose there and all of a sudden I could read all the letters. Well, in my day, you think they're cool now. This is, by the way, why I never go backwards. You don't see bell bottoms on me and you won't. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forwards. Now, to you, you may think it's forward, but it's really not. It's backwards. And some of you, you got those little black rim glasses. Sorry, that's all they had when I was a kid. And I'm walking around my big, dorky, black rim glasses, you know. And people laughed at me. But I could see. You see, I could see. It was like, I started hitting my shot. I started winning at dodgeball. It was like, this is cool because I can see. Now, how many of you are faking in here? You got contacts, nobody knows. How many wear contacts or glasses? Raise your hand. Okay, that's what I figured. Okay. So, as you know, with glasses or contacts, you know what happens as time goes on? You need a new prescription. Right? Can I get a witness? You need a new prescription, okay? Right, shake it, brother. Okay, so you got to go get this new prescription. Okay? This is why Paul prays in Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you might know the hope of your calling, how incredibly great is His power towards us to believe, and how rich God thinks He is because He's got you. We need a constant renewal of the way we see things. And that's what happens when we get into the Word of God and our hearts open and we're allowing God to work on our soul. Pretty soon life begins to change. And then look what it says. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees grow. Where briars grew, myrtles will sprout up. This miracle will bring great honor to the Lord's name. It will be an everlasting sign of His power and love. God is in the business of doing miracles in your lives. There's a young man here tonight that I've known for quite some time. I knew his mother. I led his mother to Christ. And she had a very, 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 very difficult life. One of the most difficult I'd ever heard of. Abuse in her marriage and in her family. Sexual abuse growing up. And I remember when she first came over to my home and shared with me her story. She was so ashamed. She said, "Mark, I've been trying to get my courage up to share this with you for a long time, but I'm so ashamed." She said, "Every person I've shared it with, priest and otherwise, as soon as I share it, they change towards me and they don't want me around." So I said to her, I said, "Well, let me, if I can just interrupt, I just want you to know, before you say anything, it's not going to change one iota the fact that my wife and I care deeply for you, and I believe we can help. And I don't want you to feel afraid to share anything." Well, she started her story, and my gosh, you know, I've heard a lot of things up to that point in my life, but never anything quite like this one. She started coming to my Renew group that I used to have in an apartment complex party room. She was in Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon and Children of Adult Alcoholics. I don't know. She was going to a lot of meetings at the time. She started listening to this. She started listening to this. And one night she was sitting in a room like this, and we're talking about the fact that though we were once so immoral, God can make us a virgin all over again. She said, "Mark, that night I went home and I wept for 3 hours. First time in my life I ever wept. I wept. I cried and I cried and I cried because it finally dawned on me what you're saying was true." And invited Christ into my life. She just became a little fireball for Jesus. She still had hang-ups. She still had difficulties. She started mothering her children again. She told me, Mark, "I've given my children up because I do not feel worthy to be the mother." And I remember looking her in the eye and telling her, "You are the best mother that those kids could have." And you know, we all try to do the best we can. There's a lot of hang-ups that we have to overcome. And God started building her life. And during the Renew class, one of the things that we talk about is breaking chains of the past. It's one of the tapes, and it's about forgiving those in your life, genuinely forgiving those who have hurt you. Well, in her situation, it was a brother who had molested her for many years, approximately 7. She was very angry. She hated him. She hadn't spoken to him in approximately 10 years. The next meeting we got together the following, it was like 2 weeks later. She's very high energy, more than I am even. And she's just kind of shaking. Just, I could tell like she wanted to say something. We usually had a share time, so I said, "You look like you have something you want to share." Oh my gosh, I got to share. I want to share this so much. She said, "You know, Mark, you shared that." And I went home and I wrote a letter. I threw it away. But I knew God wanted me to do it, but I didn't want to do it. But so I kept listening to the tape and I kept listening to the tape. Finally, she said, "You know what? I decided, I'm not going to write the letter. I'm going to call him." He said, "I didn't want to call him at home because his wife doesn't know about any of these things. So I called him at work." As soon as he heard my voice on the phone, he started to cry. And I began to tell him what God was doing in my life and about the church and about Christ. And he started to sob louder and he said, "Oh," and he called her by her name. And he said, "I have been praying for years that this could happen because a few years ago I came to know Christ. But I'm so ashamed of this and I had no idea how to approach you." Well, God began, you know, slowly but surely mending the relationship. And some years later, she married one of the guys from the church that she met. And you know who walked her down the aisle and gave her away that day? Was that brother. God can do. I have watched it with my own eyes. This miracle will bring great honor to the Lord's name. We are not perfect in this room. You're still a miracle. You're still a miracle. Every single one of you, you're a miracle. God has done a miracle in your life, and He's still in the process of doing the miracle. And so, where once we were barren, and it was nothing growing really in our life. Now we become this beautiful garden. This place that it captivates other people. I want to encourage you, brother and sister. Listen, I know some of you, all you see is your flaws. You got to get to a higher plane of thinking and realize that you are of extraordinary worth and of extraordinary beauty. And people, when you start to live like that, when you start to think like that, it starts to show. And people start to be, in a sense, captivated by who God is making you and made you to be. I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy. Just a few more verses, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Just a couple more and then we'll go. If you need to go for some reason, feel free. I won't distract me. 1 Peter. It's not. I'm sorry. Did I screw up again? It's 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not bifocals. I heard that. I just wrote the wrong number down. Sometimes the dyslexic part of me comes out. Okay, 2 Peter 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God. In other words, it's God-breathed. I heard that too. What did I say? Oh, no. Come on, can't you read my mind? Timothy. 2 Timothy. I told you, I'm getting old. Dyslexia is starting to happen to me. The other day, I'm writing down, I completely inverted the whole word. And I'm like, what is... I try not to think about it too much, okay? Then it really gets bad if you start thinking about it. Okay, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. The Word of God. 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 This is, apart from the Holy Spirit, the single greatest treasure God has ever given you. Do you treasure it? Is it important to you? Are you in it? Are you memorizing it? Are you meditating on it? Do you have your own little treasured notebook in which you are writing some of the promises of God? Some of the things that you can go when maybe you have certain things that get you down. You should have a notebook just for you. You run to go, there's a promise, there's a promise, there's a promise, there's a promise. A few years ago when I started doing the one-year Bible and the journal, what I would do, I would, you know, maybe every 3 months, I'd go through and read it from beginning to where I was. And I would take a felt tip pen and I would put in orange the cool verses. In other words, they were all cool when I wrote them, but these were even cooler at the time. They really stood out to me as, I need that in my life. I need that one in my life. I need that one. They were promises that I would just hold on to. They helped me with my perspective. See, that's the Word of God. That's what the Word of God does. It's power food to transform your life. Now I just write these down. We won't look at all of them, but I'll just give you briefly what they say. Psalm 119:37 says, give me life through your word. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you speak to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let it dwell in you richly. Some of us, it's just kind of squeaking in there. If I look around the room here, and I don't mean this in any negative way at all, we're all very well fed, and it's obvious food has been dwelling in us richly. Okay? Our cheeks are nice and pink, and I don't see anybody Auschwitz looking in here tonight. We've been enjoying the bounty of the land. If we could see to each other's soul, what would we see? The Bible says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it and feed you on the fattest of the land. God means that spiritually. So that your soul is rich and vibrant. So when the lean times come, you're strong and well fed. 1 Peter 2:2-3. Now, I want you to capture this picture for a moment. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow with respect to your salvation. Okay, he's not saying because you're newborn babies, now you're just new Christians, hunger for the word of God. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, like a newborn baby, hunger for the pure milk of the word. How many of you have ever been around a newborn baby? You got to grow up in the family with a newborn baby. Now, I don't know if your mother nursed or not, but I'm telling you a little funny thing about little babies. When they're really little, and you hold them, no matter who you are, they start going, ah, ah, and they try to grab your chest or whatever. So I usually stick my lip in their mouth. My babies, it's kind of fun. They go, bleep. It would at least keep them from crying. Some people, they stick their little finger in there and they'll suck it. You know? They'll suck on it. When Celeste was about 3 years old. No, she was not nursing at 3 years old, okay? Okay, we weren't that kind of family. I just want you to know that, all right? There are those kind of families. We weren't one. The only thing to do in Ames was the Iowa State University cattle barns. Okay, so we go see the little baby goats. I'd sneak in. We'd see the little baby goats. And occasionally, when all the calving was going on, they'd put the little... Have you ever seen a Guernsey calf? They look like a little doe, sort of. They have these big eyes. They're beautiful. So there's this little Guernsey cow, and Celeste was petting him. And the next thing you know, the little calf had her whole arm in her mouth going... And so I put her in the pen, and she's just going... Because they're trying to wean them from the mother at this age, but it's little. And so finally it was time to go. I said, Celeste, honey, we got to go. She starts crying, Daddy, I want for a pet. I want for a pet. I want to take them home. You know, we have this little trailer with a little yard. It's like 10 feet wide by 20 feet. And I said, honey, it's going to see the mommy. It's going to get that big. But I want to take them home, Daddy. You know, that I want you to think about the little calf sucking on your arm. That is what God wants you to be like. Hungry, hungry, hungry for the breast of God. And that's a choice of your will. Guys, get that in your head, okay? Okay. All right? All right? It's always a fun time at Axis, isn't it? This is what it says. Am I reading between the lines? It says, like a newborn baby eagerly desire the milk of the word. So you just pretend and suck the thing. You know what I'm saying? Since you're visual young people, I figured I might as well give you some imagery you will never forget. Okay? Let me tell you something. You know what Billy Graham said in a recent interview? Billy Graham's almost 80 or over 80. They asked him, would you do anything different in your life? He said, yes, I would. I would have spent a lot more time in my Bible. Oh, my gosh. If Billy Graham says that, what are you going to say? Do you know what I'm saying? Can I just be frank? When I used to be a parts guy at a Cadillac dealership, that was one of my other jobs. So I would always do my task. I would try to get them done fast and quick. And in my back pocket, I carried a leather-bound Book of Proverbs. And during every free moment that I had of my work was done, not to be obtrusive, you couldn't see that it said Proverbs. It was one of those daytime or leather planners. But inside I snuck a Proverbs. And I was sitting, I would read it. Every day, like today's the ninth, I'd read Proverbs 9, tomorrow Proverbs 10, tomorrow Proverbs 11, the next day after that. That was in addition to the other reading. On my lunch hour, how long does it take? Well, for girls maybe it's longer than guys. I don't know, usually my lunch is done in 5 minutes. Then I usually had 30 or 50 left. I could go pray, I could read, and I would read, and I would read. When I was driving on my route, some of you are in rush hour, I'd listen to tapes. And I'll go over them, and over them, and over them, hungry, hungry, hungry for the Word of God. That's the secret, Christian, to growing. That's the secret to growing. Minimum is that 1 year Bible. That's a great place to start. I don't want you feeling bad if that's all you can do right now. Just do it. Do it. And get that little journal out. But some of you, I would strongly encourage you to get these tapes. Get these new tapes. Put them in your tape deck as you're driving to work. Or get a Walkman and just sit around as you work out. Or as you walk. Or as you're around the house doing something, dishes or something, put it on. Get the Word of God into your life. Let me give you the other verses. Mark 4:24. Listen to this. You won't find this unless you have an Amplified Bible. And Jesus said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. That's powerful. The direct proportion of energy that you put into listening to the Word of God, pondering the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, going over the Word of God, will be the exact degree of measure back to you of understanding, spiritual knowledge, and virtue, which means life character, means moral excellence. You want your life to change? Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Get a couple different versions. Get the Amplified, get the Living, get the New Living, get the Phillips. And when it gets a little dry, try a different version. When it gets a little dry, try a different version. You want something to be expanded its meaning? There's a Bible you can get that has 4 or 5 separate parallel translations through the whole thing. Okay? You thought you read a verse, but you don't remember where it is? Go buy an NIV concordance or New Living Translation concordance. $20. Any word. Look up the word word. And you can find every reference the word word is used. Looked up the word newborn or baby. You'll find every reference to baby. That's the secret of pastors. We don't have this all memorized. We just have a concordance. I remember that word. We find the word. There's the verse. Huh? We look like geniuses. Listen, thanks for your time tonight. Let's pray. Then we got one announcement that you got to hear. So Jesse, come right on up here and you'll be ready to give this announcement tonight, okay? Jesse, did he already leave? Is he gone? Oh, okay, Jesse, come right up here while we say a holy prayer. All right? Lord, we thank you tonight for your extraordinary power in our lives and for the way you work in our lives and you bless our life. Every single person in this room, Lord, can experience you over and over and over. We can experience the miracle working power of God in our lives. We can experience victory over bad habits, victory over certain tendencies through the power of the Word of God. And when we are weak, we can still be strong because your grace is sufficient. We remind the Lord tonight of Peter where he writes, through these precious and magnificent promises, we become partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption of the flesh. Father, I pray that you'd help us to prioritize the Word of God in our life. I pray that you would lead these men and women in what they maybe should supplement their own life with. Help us, Lord, to be like that little baby, hungry for his mama, hungry for milk. Give us milk. Give us milk and help us to have that awareness each and every day. Thank you for these saints. Thank you for the time of worship tonight and the testimony tonight. God, you're just so good to us. We love you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.